Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. This morning we are reading from 7th canto, 8th chapter entitled The Lord Slays the King of the Demons, verses 19 to 20. Prayena meyam harinorun mainam. Vada smrito nena sadmut. Jatena kim evam bruvamstva abhyapatad gadayudo nadan nisimham pratidaitya kunjaraham. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Hiranyakashipu murmured to himself, Lord Vishnu, who possesses great mystic power, has made this plan to kill me. But what is the use of such an attempt? Who can fight with me? Thinking like this and taking his club, Hiranyakashipu attacked the Lord like an elephant. Purport. In the jungle, there are sometimes fights between lions and elephants. Here the Lord appeared like a lion, and Hiranyakashipu, unafraid of the Lord, attacked him like an elephant. Generally, the elephant is defeated by the lion, and therefore the comparison in this verse is appropriate. We'll also read. The form of the Lord trying to decide who the form of Nrisimhadev standing before him was. The Lord's form was extremely fearsome because of his angry eyes, which resembled molten gold. His shining mane, which expanded the dimensions of his fearful face, his deadly teeth, and his razor-sharp tongue, which moved about like a dueling sword. His ears were erected and motionless, and his nostrils and gaping mouth appeared like caves of a mountain. His jaws parted fearfully, and his entire body touched the sky. His neck was very short and thick, his chest broad, his waist thin, and the hairs on his body as white as the rays of the moon. His arms, which resembled flanks of soldiers, spread in all directions as he killed the demons, rogues, and atheists with his conchal disc, club, lotus, and other natural weapons. Hiranyakashipu murmured to himself, Lord Vishnu, who possesses great mystic power, has made this plan to kill me, but what is the use of such an attempt? Who can fight with me? Thinking like this and taking his club, Hiranyakashipu attacked the Lord like an elephant. So in this section of the verses, we see the appearance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his form of a man lion is described. And as the Lord appeared, as he burst out of the pillar, creating earlier the great tumultuous sound described as a thunderbolt, which puzzled actually all the demons assembled. And Hiranyakashipu himself was greatly astonished and stunned by the sound itself, just the sound produced by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So here it is explained that, first of all, when Hiranyakashipu saw the form of the Lord, he studied the form. So he wanted to figure out who that creature standing and appearing actually in such a sudden manner was. So he tried to figure out who the Supreme Personality, actually who this person was, who is actually there to appear in front of me. So his method basically of the approach towards that particular, of course, unusual situation resembles the approach of our modern day empiricists, who also try to measure everything and fit into their own framework or their own paradigm. So Hiranyakashipu similarly measured, he studied the Lord, he tried to figure out, he wanted to place him in some particular category with which he was familiar. Earlier, where he was asking for a boon, he assumed actually that he knows everything about the universe, that he knows everything about the workings and the nature of it, and especially about the creation. And the way to secure himself from becoming a mortal and die, or to preserve himself and protect himself from death, was that he included all the possible elements and all the possible knowledge which actually he gathered by the conquering the universe and knowing the universe, of which he became actually almost the whole and sole master, was that he used this particular knowledge and understanding to create and ask for such a boon that he would become basically immortal. So he thought that he understands, that he knows the whole nature of this particular universe, but actually here we see the Lord appearing in a particular form, which actually Hiranyakashipu himself couldn't even imagine. It was beyond his thought, beyond his reasoning framework. So he was studying, he was puzzled also, he was stunned for a moment. And he therefore, in this way, represents actually the archetype, original prototype of our modern-day empiricist, who follow actually in his footsteps. He can be considered some kind of a founder acharya of the modern-day empiricism. So he tried to figure out who that form is, but of course, as we know, many things are beyond the conceptions of the scientists or empiricists. They can't figure out everything, what is happening in this material universe, although they try their very best. And appearing in such a manner as a man lion in this particular form, Lord actually defied those particular empiricist idea. And this was actually the whole purpose of the Lord appearing, just to defy this particular conception. So that there is somebody still above, there is somebody greater, somebody more powerful than they themselves. Like in this case, in particular, Hiranyakashipu, who thought that he is the most powerful, that he is the conqueror of the universe. But still, there was some greater power. The hint which he kind of assumed that earlier, unknowingly actually, he admitted that there is some kind of a power when he couldn't kill Prahlad himself. He kind of acknowledged, unknowingly actually, that there is a power, even at that point, which is greater than his own. But now especially also he will realize that personally, that there is definitely even higher power than what he can even think or imagine of. He thought that he is the master, he is the, foolishly of course, that he is the knower and the controller of the whole the universe. By the definition itself, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the controller, of course, proprietor, therefore an enjoyer, Purusha, ultimate Purusha of this material and, of course, spiritual worlds. Nobody is above him. Nobody is equal to him. He is the cause of all the causes. But Hiranyakashipu foolishly tries to achieve that particular position. At least we can say that at early stages, some bigger demons had some knowledge and they at least understood that there is a God, that God exists. But their conception was completely, again, kind of a twisted or wrong in a sense that they thought that they can become a God themselves. This is kind of a similar to Mayavadi idea, wherein Mayavadis actually try to become God themselves. They say everybody is God, so at some particular stages you are God or somebody else is God, but I will also become God and supersede you or somebody else. That's very interestingly and very nicely illustrated by Srila Prabhupada once on the morning walk, when he tried to cross some particular pond, and Brahmananda Swami at that time, it helped him. He offered his hand to cross this particular pond of water. And as soon as Prabhupada got on the other side, Brahmananda was about to cross, but Srila Prabhupada actually pulled his arm away. And Brahmananda was very much shocked. Why did Srila Prabhupada do this? Why did he act in such a particular way? I was helping him to cross this particular pond of water and he rejected my hand. He pushed me away. So he was shocked. So then Srila Prabhupada explains, this is the attitude of the Mayavadis. They take the shelter of a guru and then when they achieve that particular position, when they come to a particular level or even equal or maybe even higher, as they think that's a higher, then they reject their guru. So similarly, the conception of the demons in this case is, yes, they acknowledge the supremacy of the of some kind of a supreme being which they call God, but their conception is, I can also become that God and I can supersede that particular God. And at any cost, they try to preserve that particular post. So this was the understanding of Hiranyakashipu. That, yes, like we can understand from his prayers offered to Lord Brahma earlier, when he was seeking benediction, he was glorifying as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But now he thought, I am Supreme Personality of Godhead. I am complete and sole controller of this particular universe. Vishnu is hiding in the hearts of every living being. Brahma is meditating somewhere. Lord Shiva is in the forest. So I am the one who is actually the master of this particular universe. So he couldn't understand actually that there is a power greater than the one that he had, that he is possessing. So this is why he tried in this particular empirical method, he tries to figure out who is that particular form of the Lord, who is that particular actually being appearing. Of course, he knew it's a Vishnu that appeared in front of him, but the particular form, he never had experience of it. It was beyond his imagination. So the Lord, to defy all the empirical ideas, actually appears in such a way that no empiricist can figure out. There is always something beyond their conception. And he will always either appear or act in such a way that they can't understand these particular actions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because we know how limited actually we are and how limited our understanding of this particular universe itself is so small. The Vedas describe this universe as having 64 dimensions. Each yogi, each siddhis, there are 8 siddhis, and with each siddhi, yogi has access to 8 different dimensions. So that equals 8 by 8, 64. So there are 64 dimensions. And mathematically, nowadays, some 18 of them can be described. There's one string theory which describes kind of a 11. But mostly people have conception of 4 dimensions, possibly 4 dimensions. Length, breadth, depth, and the kind of fourth one would be either time or space. There are different understandings of it. But not beyond that. So how can they, with such particular tiny brains actually, which they think that they've understood everything of this material universe, understand that there is something much greater, something much and far more wonderful than what they can perceive with their ordinary material senses? Can very easily, very just by some simple examples, if we imagine that there are like 2 papers representing Mr. Flat and Mrs. Flat. 2 papers representing 2 persons, and they're flat because they're 2-dimensional. We can also say for ourselves, we say we perceive 3 dimensions, but actually the 3rd one can be only kind of a perceived, actually, yes, but we see only 2. If you look in front of yourself, we see only 2 selected bread. We don't see the 3rd one. We can just kind of perceive it. So those would be very interesting illustration of the 2 papers, Mr. and Mrs. Flat, looking, trying to figure out who God is. And if God appears in front of them, like a 3 fingers or 4 fingers of one hand in front of Mrs. Flat and 1 finger in front of Mr. Flat, then they would definitely disagree again on their own perception, because it would be different. Mr. Flat would see just 1, and he would say it's of such width or height. And Mrs. Flat would say, no, it's further, it's much bigger, it's much longer. So they can't perceive the 3-dimensional aspect of it. They can't perceive that it's a whole hand, and furthermore, how it looks like. So their perception is very limited. Or the example of the ant can be given. Ant also similarly can perceive basically only 2 dimensions. If you put some piece of gur from in front of him, he would consider it to be a miracle, gur appearing from the sky. He can't understand that. So it's a miracle. Whatever happens, whatever comes from some kind of other dimension and appears in front of us, or if you take that gur or what disappears, he would also consider it's a miracle. Because he can't perceive, he doesn't understand what's going on. Or if he would walk on this particular line like this, he would think it's It has a length of some kind of 50 centimeters. And he would have to cross from one side to the other. But he can't understand that just by, say, some 1 or 2 centimeters that he can also kind of jump on the other or come to the other side, because he doesn't have a perception of that third dimension. So in similar way, these empiricists, when they try to study the form of the Lord, they can't perceive. How can they understand for the Supreme Personality of Godhead? And they foolishly think, yes, we are the controllers, we are actually the masters, we are the pinnacle of the evolution. This is what is it considered. But Lord appears in this particular form just to defy their own conception. We are not the pinnacle of evolution. Many times scientists actually deride and consider primitive Vedic conception of the universe, Vedic view of the universe being geocentric. They say this is primitive, that we think that everything revolves around us. This is very primitive. But actually they themselves didn't evolve much from that particular concept, because they consider themselves, it's very self-centered concept of being the pinnacle of evolution and thinking that there is nothing else beyond, but that we are the center and we are the greatest development in this process, evolutionary process. So they themselves consider the greatest, the most powerful, the most important, and the most self-centered personalities. So there is no big difference, actually. Actually, it is in sense of understanding on a psychological level also. But they, as I said, very strongly emphasize that concept of geocentricism being a very primitive. But they themselves having, again, this particular idea. And if you see mathematically, by the way, from the cosmological point of view, many great astrophysicists say that there isn't actually a big difference mathematically, both concepts, even if you take, for example, if you speak about cosmology, heliocentric system or geocentric system, it's only the point of a relative vision. So mathematically, both are given the correct result, so there is no big difference. But anyway, they always try to find some defect, like in the Lord or anybody else who tries to represent the Lord, they will always find some kind of defect just to defend their own particular frame of work. So Lord appeared in this particular form, which was very wonderful. It was an amazing form. So Nrisimhadev himself, it has many different forms. It is not just this particular one, Stanu. This one, when he appears, when he jumps out of the pillar, it's actually the most terrible, the most frightening form. He's very angry at that point. But Lord assumes, as Lord Nrisimhadev, this is the beauty of the variety, he assumes very many different forms. Also, even as the Lord Nrisimhadev, there is a Jvala, there is a Krodha Nrisimha, Ugra Nrisimha, Karala Nrisimha. These are all fearful, terrifying forms of the Lord. Of course, he has the forms, Shanti forms, Lakshmi Nrisimha, Bhargava, Malola. There are so many in Ahovilam. There are 9 of them, Pavala, Pavana, Kodanda. There are so many different forms of the Lord. So Lord has the ability to manifest himself in so many wonderful ways which no empiricist can figure out. Such a wonderful variation of his particular creation or manifestation is present in himself. And nobody can figure it out, especially not those who are not surrendered unto him. He doesn't reveal, as we know, the bhakti is required for such kind of understanding. So it's a fearful form. But he, as we know, empiricists or the demons, like the Hiranyakashipu, they can't realize him. They can't understand him. And they always deny him till the last moment of death. And then the Lord appears. Of course, he says, time I am, the death, the destroyer. I am the death, the destroyer of the universes. At that only point, the empiricist can get a darshan or understand, actually get a vision of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As it is stated in the mantra, this Maha Mantra, Nrisimha Maha Mantra itself, it is stated, Mrityur, Mrityur Namami Aham, Om Krim Shraum Mugram Vira Mahavishnum Jvalantam Sarvato Mukham Nrisimham Vishanam Badram Mrityur, Mrityur Namami Aham. So his Mrityur, Mrityur, his death of death personified, fear of fear personified. So in this way he only appears in front of the demons at the end of their lives. Otherwise they can't perceive him. So it depends on that reciprocation, how they acted upon towards what is their attitude towards the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Like Yamaraj, for example, he's very beautiful. We all think it's very terrifying and horrible. Yes, it is for the sinners when he judges them. But where he resides in the Pitri Loka, he's very beautiful, he's very handsome. So it depends. There are also different kinds of reciprocations in this way. And as the example of the cat, which carries the kitten and the rat feels blows of that, where a kitten feels very safe in the mouth of its mother. So it depends. This different attitude depends how we're going to perceive the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So the different forms which Lord appears, I have personal some kind of realization of the fearful form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, not of the peaceful ones, as once had a very vivid dream of the Lord appearing. And he was, it was just kind of an instant, sudden, where he just roared and appeared in, suddenly and woke me up from the, of course, at night. But his appearance was very terrifying. And actually what happened, I'll just try to describe. It was the just still torso, basically. His appearance, still torso, and very frightening look, with a very frightening look and a very tumultuous sound. With a very tumultuous sound created. And it just suddenly disappeared as immediately because I woke up. And it's not such kind of a dream that actually, it's something that you really, like many dreams, even if it's impressive, you forget about them. It's not so, it's not such a deep, it doesn't leave such a deep impression. But this one was something very special, very, very unique. And this had happened at the time when I was worshipping different Ugra Nirsimha Shalagrams. So I thought maybe I committed some offense, and I was very terrified. It was in Calcutta, just the night before I was staying in a guest house, just the night before I arrived to Mayapur. But actually what happened at that time, in Mayapur, that same day when I arrived afterwards, Guru Maharaj, His Holiness Shri Swami, he came there and he ordered one Stanu Nirsimhadiri Ashtamurti, Ashtadatu, made out of Dashtadatu, which came at that particular day, and which was also of the same color I saw. It was a golden, Ashtadatu form. Ashtadatu color. And the same form, Stanu Nirsimha, which appeared here in front of the Hiranyakashipu. So I thought, I don't know what is the reason, whether because of the offenses he appeared in such a way, or because the same deity, I didn't know that this deity is going to come and is going to be present in Mayapur, and which we worshipped later on. So he appeared as a Stanu in Mayapur that same day. There was some small realization of his fearfulness that I had. Other devotees, many times there is an interesting story of one devotee who saw Lord Nisimhadev in a completely different, of course, more peaceful way, which was more pleasing, definitely. He also ordered some, he acquired some Yoga Nisimha Murti from South India, which is very ancient and therefore very precious in this way. So he was residing in Vrindavan in a guest house, and another devotee was supposed to send him to that particular guest house. And he sent it, but somehow or other, though he wasn't instructed to do so, he mixed it with some particular books where some other package was there, some prasadam was there. So as he was busy performing different services and different activities for 2 days. Actually, these particular two packages came into one. So he received it, but he kept it on a reception for 2 days. And he didn't do anything about it. He didn't consider it so much important. And he didn't know that this particular murti is present in that package. So the deity came into his dream telling him, and he saw the package actually, telling him, I'm here. So he said, most of the time, if I think of Lord Nisimhadev, it is in the form of Lakshmi Nisimha, or it's in the form of Prahlad and Ugra Nisimha, completely different forms. But he said, I distinctly saw that particular Nisimhadev, which was in a yoga posture, which was a yoga Nisimha. And he said, that was incredible. And then immediately, that same morning, when he woke up, he came to the reception and he opened the package and there was the deity, which was there standing for 2 days. So it's incredible how Lord appears in different ways to His devotees. Somebody who is very fearful way, somebody very peaceful way. Depends on the attitude. So these different features of the Supreme Personality of Godhead depends definitely, as I said, on the attitudes of the of the as you say, like an advancement in spiritual life of the of the follower itself. So Hiranyakashipu, after studying the form, and it is explained here, his whole description is given of his fearful face, he said, shining mane which expanded. Another thing that made him so frightening, so fearful, was that particular tumultuous sound. It is described in Nrisimha Purana that Lord, of course, that was some other pastime, because Lord Nrisimhadev appears once in a Lord of day, once in a day of Brahma, Lord Varaha twice, Matsya 14 times. There are different Lord Vamana this time, 3 times he appeared. So there are different kinds of appearances. But so also different appearance pastimes are described in different Puranas. So in Nrisimha Purana, it is described that he, first, when he created the tumultuous sound, thundering sound, the woman of the demigod had miscarriage. It was so terrifying, so frightening sound, such a frightening sound. Again, also, I don't experience the, just the, therefore it is compared to the sound of thunder, which is very, very, very frightening. I don't know, maybe not here in Bombay, I never heard here in Bombay such a frightening thundering sound, but in the mountains, in Himalayas probably, or I've experienced it in Europe, it's very frightening. It really makes you think that there is somebody up there. Even if you're the greatest of the demons, it's a very frightening sound that there is some kind of a power that is far greater than any power that we know of on this planet. So it's a very powerful sound. And then at that point, he killed the demons. He was fighting with the soldiers of Hiranyakashipu, and then he fought with Hiranyakashipu. So there are different accounts of Lord's appearance. And he appears wherever there is a friction between his devotees and the demons. Anywhere and everywhere. Because he's present in material and spiritual sky. So whenever there is that friction, he appears. As wherever there is a friction of different elements or matter, anywhere, electricity is generated. So the Lord appears in a similar way. Wherever there is some kind of a friction between his devotees or between the demons or atheists or atheists. So another interesting point here is that while describing his form, his fearful form, his eyes were red in anger. As I said, his form, when he jumped out of the pillar, this is the most angriest form. He's not so angry when he tears up Hiranyakashipu apart. He's not so angry at that point. We may think when he has 16 arms in this particular form, he's the angriest. No, he's not. He's the most angriest in his form of Stanu when he jumps out of the pillar, when he's facing Lord Nrisimhadev. So we may say the anger as the quality is kind of abominable, is despicable. But not of the Lord Nrisimhadev, we have to understand. Why? Because his anger was transcendental. It wasn't material like that of Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu's anger was symptom of the lusty desire for which was produced from the desire of for sense enjoyment. But Hiranyakashipu's anger was actually symptom of the divine love for his devotee. For which reason, actually, as I say, he appears for his cause. And his anger, actually, like we understand from Bhagavad Gita, Krishna tells to Arjuna to be always equipoised and such a devotee, you know, equal in happiness, distress, honor, dishonor. There are so many verses, especially in 12th chapter, describing such kind of a state of the devotee. Krishna is praising such kind of a qualities. And Lord is himself described as Atmarama. And as we know, sadhus always, the people have a conception of a sadhu of being very peaceful, tolerant, not showing any kind of anger. And we know that, even that's from that example of Srila Prabhupada getting angry on one particular person on the Pandal program, that many people left, not understanding what actually means anger. But the anger which is another quality actually of the Lord. But we have to understand it's the whole different anger. It's not the anger which Krishna described as Trividam Narakasyadam Dvaram Nashanam Atmanahat, that the anger actually, which every sane man should give it up. It's not that type of material anger. It's the transcendental anger for desire, which actually doesn't degrade the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but it decorates him. It's the transcendental anger generated for the sake of the protection of his devotees. So it's a different kind of anger. And it is described here, nails, which was very sharp nails. We were speaking about thunderbolt. They were like a thunder. Nails were like a thunder. His nails were like a thunderbolt. We know from the morning Nrisimha prayers, his nails are described, wonderful nails. And Prahlad Maharaj, he also prays in the fifth canto, he's offering the prayers to Lord Nisimhadev. Om namo bhagavate narasimhaya namaste jasteja saviravir bhava vajrana kavajramsta karmashanarandaranda tamograsa grasam svaha abhayam abhayam atmanim. So he said, please appear in my heart and vanquish all the ignorance, and please kill, vanquish all the demon-like desires. But he mentions this vajranaka, vajra, thunderbolt-like nails, because we understand even Indra couldn't penetrate the chest or kill Hiranyakashipu. His body was so stout, so strong. Even Indra's thunderbolt couldn't do anything, but his nails, Lord nails, were able to rip Hiranyakashipu apart. So that was the wonderful form, again, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and feature in which he is able to display, which of course Hiranyakashipu as empiricist couldn't figure out, he couldn't perceive. So that fearful form, and here it is described that his arms, which resembles flanks of soldiers, appeared spread in all directions as he killed the demons, rogues and atheists. So that was his mission, actually, to kill the demons and atheists. And therefore he appears in this form. We can see from Chaitanya Charitamrita that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also sometimes assumed the form of Lord Nisimhadev, because he wanted to kill. He was very angry at the demons, at the atheists, at some particular points. Once he displayed his form to... Brahmachari... Narasimhananda. He got that name later by Lord Chaitanya, but his name earlier was Pradyumna? Pradyumna Brahmachari, yes. Pradyumna Brahmachari. Who actually even... It is described that he could converse with Lord Nisimhadev directly, and he even for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was going to Vrindavan, he would construct the road, but he couldn't complete it, and then therefore there were some signs, and that's a whole different point, but he understood that Lord Chaitanya at that point wasn't going to Vrindavan. But he definitely had a very close relationship, and Lord Chaitanya would appear to particular devotees according to their mood, according to their bhava or reciprocation, like to Murari Gupta as Lord Ramachandra. But in one instance, when Srivas Pandit was performing a Shraddha ceremony for his father, many people were present at his house, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as well. But when Srivas Pandit was reciting Vishnu Sahasranama and it came to the name of Lord Nisimhadev, Lord Chaitanya assumed that mood again of Lord Nisimhadev, and actually his body started to tremble, hair stood on end, and he started roaring and thundering, and he picked up the club, he found some club, and in such a terrible mood, actually, he went on the street, and people have started running, being afraid, seeing him in such kind of a mood. So he assumed that particular position. Why? Because he wanted to kill the demons and the atheists. And of course, from the Leela of Jagan Madhav, we understand that he was pacified and told that if he would have to kill everybody, actually that he would have to kill everybody in this Kali Yuga, at this particular age, because everybody has this demonic propensity or demonic nature. So the holy name is the one which was presented to us and given as a means to kill our demonic mentality, not to kill the person as the demon itself, as such. So that attitude, which I was talking earlier about the demons and Hiranyakashipu, basically to achieve that post of the supreme enjoyer, of the supreme controller, is present. We can see, we can understand in all the personalities who have such particular type of mentality. One interesting example can be given of Kamsa. Kamsa also, we can see how they all worship some particular deity to achieve the powers. But then they try to supersede them. They try to take over their post. Interesting thing was with the example of Kamsa, that when Vasudev exchanged the Yoga Maya or Mahamaya and Krishna from Vrindavan and Mathura, when he actually brought Krishna to Vrindavan and take the female child from Vrindavan to Mathura. Then when Kamsa came and he grabbed the Durga, actually, just the Yoga Maya or its manifestation Durga, when he grabbed it in the hand and he tried to smash him on the rock, on the floor, she slipped away from his hand and appeared as a Durga in the air. And she told him, "You fool, don't you know that the child that is going to kill is already born. So at that point, Kansa was very stunned. And he saw his own worshipable deity, Durga, giving him such a particular prediction. And then this is something that terrified him a lot. He understood actually that there is some kind of a power. There is something happening already that, which is beyond my control. And he started actually at that moment, he started offering prayers, and he fell down in front of the feet of Vasudeva and Devaki and asking for their forgiveness for committing so many sinful actions and atrocities towards them, committing so many offenses. And he basically changed the mind at that particular point. But it was already too late. And afterwards, when he consulted, in a sense that he already committed so many sinful activities at the first place by putting them in such particular condition. And immediately when he consulted with his ministers, by the dint of association with other demonic mentality, his original mentality surfaced again. So it wasn't a big or long-lasting change. Just by association with his minister, he immediately resumed his earlier position or the earlier mentality. So this can be illustrated by the example of a person who tries to quit his bad nature, his bad habits of kind of a smoking, and he makes a big show out of it. He throws the pick in the garden. He said, never again. This is my last pack. But very soon his mentality by association or even because of that strong habit is resumed again. So similarly, Kamsa again resumed his demonic mentality and his mission to kill Lord Krishna. But this illustrates that actually all the attempts of the demigods are baffled. Moga shamoga karmana moga jnana vichetasa asurim rakshasim chaiva prakritim mohinim shritaha. That all the attempts for their enjoyment, and Kamsa, he was actually thinking he is the most powerful, he is the controller, he is the enjoyer, have everything on his disposal. But their attempts actually are always frustrated. Even their attempts for jnana, for knowledge, for liberation, for enjoyment, everything is frustrated. Because this is the nature. Whenever we worship, this is the result of any materialist who takes shelter or who worships the material energy. As in this case, Kansa, worshipping Durga. So this is the result. They don't understand. Like in the case of Jad Bharat, where the dacoits were worshipping Durga. They didn't understand actually that those skulls which are around Durga serving as a garland, actually those are the skulls of the same demon-like personalities who were worshipping the same Durga. So this is the result. So Kansa was very, very much astonished and terrified by realizing that his own worshipable deity is not allowing him to fulfill his own ambitions. So that was very interesting in the case of Kansa. And we understand that by worshipping such kind of the deity doesn't bring any result actually. Like in the case of Ravana, worshipping Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva couldn't save him. So Srila Prabhupada would often say, what kind of a deity is this? By worshipping Lord Shiva. Even he would Prabhupada to go to extent calling him at that point rascal. You're worshipping him and he doesn't want to protect you. He gives permission to Lord Ram to kill his own devotee. So this is the mentality of the demons actually, trying to worship but taking the wrong shelter, worshipping the wrong personality of Godhead. Because they themselves have such kind of a demonic mentality of trying to use the worshipable deity for their own selfish purposes. So this is how, therefore, it is Mogasha. Therefore, all their attempts are futile. All their attempts are basically for enjoyment. All are in vain. And Kamsa thought that there is nobody more powerful there, except Jarasandha, of course, who is the emperor. But he's my friend. And he had married his two daughters, Asti and Prapti. Asti and Prapti, these are interesting meaning of their names. Asti means something that is eat, or something that already exists, the enjoyment basically in that sense, or material opulence. And Prapti, something that will enable him to acquire in the future. So he thought everything is already there. But throughout the whole his existence basically, he was so frustrated because he couldn't enjoy, he couldn't find any shelter, even in his own power that he thought that he possesses, the demonic power. So in the purport here of the 23rd verse, there are also many interesting points. Hiranyakashipu understood that the Lord Vishnu who appeared before him, he at least acknowledged that he possesses great mystic power. That's also very wonderful because we understand Yatra Geshwara Krishna Tatra Partoda Nurdara Tatra Shri Vijaya Bhuti Dhruvanitir Matirmama. Yes, Krishna is the master. He is the Yogeshwara of all the mystic powers. And he had that experience while Vishnu killed his brother Hiranyaksha. That at least he respected his enemy. He had that particular attitude. But he didn't care just to protect his own position of the enjoyer. He was ready to fight with Lord Nrsimhadev. But at least, as I said, he acknowledged this particular powers that Lord Vishnu had. So this is something in the warfare that never to underestimate the enemy. That's the interesting point. And he said that he had made plan to kill me. But definitely, what is the use of such attempt? Who can fight with me? This is what Hiranyakashipu put out. That he is, of course, again, most powerful personality, the ultimate controller of the universe. And finally, in the purport, Srila Prabhupada, he gives the example that he extends, he gives the analogy of the Lord appearing like a lion and Hiranyakashipu like an elephant. And he says that generally the elephant is defeated by the lion. There's an interesting point here. That lion, you may see in terms of power, you may all say that elephant is kind of more powerful animal because he has a lot of strength, definitely. But what is the interesting feature of the lion is that being a carnivore, actually, people who eat meat, they're more aggressive. They're not so, in general, vegetarians are kind of timid. They're not so aggressive. But the lion is more aggressive. And therefore, it is more powerful because even by consuming particular product like a meat, it's full of adrenaline, which is present in the meat due to the fear of the animal being slaughtered or killed. And such kind of adrenaline, when it gets into the system, it creates further aggressive influence on the body. So in that sense, lion being a carnivore basically is far more aggressive and far more violent and ferocious in that sense than any other animal, which may appear physically more powerful than that particular carnivore animal. So it all depends. From this verse is actually the appearance of the Lord Nrsimhadev. He said if he is, another kind of a definition is that he is unlimited in everything. He is immeasurable and scientists can't measure him. But he is also unlimited in different senses, that he is unlimitedly kind. It depends on our attitude, how we are going to approach him. Whether if we are so foolish enough that we provoke his anger, then his anger also is going to manifest in unlimited way. And that's what he says. Yeyatam amprapadyante tam sataiva bhajami aham. Actually, of course, in the more kind of positive way, if we approach him, he will also reciprocate in an equal manner. But of course, we know he acts as a paramatma, he acts as udasinavat. He's a neutral, he's like a judge. So if you approach him in a negative way, the reward actually or the relationship will be manifested in a negative way. But if you approach him in a positive way, as the Prahlad Maharaj did, then that positive attitude will also be reciprocated by the Lord himself. But he says, Samoham Sarva Buddhasya, of course, Namedvesho Sinapriha, one particular thing is that by which he is kind of a misjudged or actually presented as a partial, is that partiality when a particular living entity takes shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then he actually becomes even more partial or favorable towards that particular living being. He doesn't act as a paramatma. He acts like a father towards his particular child. He loves all the other children, but towards that particular child which is belonging to him, he shows more favor. So similarly, Supreme Lord, when somebody takes shelter of him in such a way, then he shows more partiality and he helps the living entity to advance in his spiritual path. So, Hare Krishna, are there maybe any questions or comments? Or we should stop here because it's 9:50. Okay, Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. I'm sorry, Radha Gopinam Prabhu.
Thank you, Prabhu. Very enlightening class. Two points I really liked about how the empiricists trying to figure out the Lord, and the second point about how there is a friction, the Lord appears. Very interesting. One question and a doubt. One is, you talked about, you mentioned something about 8 siddhis and 8 dimensions, 8 just 64. I don't know, that's one point if you can clarify. And secondly, this point about the last point you made about somebody being aggressive and powerful just because they're meat eaters, and others being timid just because they're vegetarians. And just the other day I was reading about Parikshit Maharaj, and it is foretold that he's going to be as a lion, fierce as a lion in chasing. And he will not stop till he catches, irrespective of how powerful the other enemy is. That's the foretold by the Brahmanas. So is it the spirit, the Kshatriya spirit, or is it just the intake of specific diet? So these two questions and clarification.
Well, we can see that also Kshatriyas were kind of sometimes like Bhima, or some others were also consuming meat. So that is also there. So that's also something that might generate more passion, more aggressive nature in the Kshatriyas itself. I mentioned it as a general case where we notice in the nature itself that carnivores are far more aggressive than the herbivores. And therefore here the Lord, and as we say, of course the nature can be manifest in both cases, like we know even mother, when any mother of any kind of animal or species, when he tries to protect his child, that nature is also manifested, even far more aggressive than the one of the predator. So she is able to chase him away at many times. So that is also the case. But most often when some animal is kind of a predator, is kind of a hungry or carnivore, he will, when he attacks, he is manifesting this more aggressive kind of a nature. And therefore, I was trying to extend the analogy here, because the Lord appeared as a lion and therefore was more powerful than the elephant, which appears in a strength kind of bigger and stronger than the lion itself. But that nature of the aggressiveness, that adrenaline actually which is consumed with the meat, which actually increases that aggressiveness or that fearful nature in the consumers of the meat, basically, and those who consume it. Although, of course, it may be the case, and therefore devotees, as you said, Kshatriyas, although they might not partake the meat, but they will, like lion in the chase and deer in the... How is that? I forget. Anyway. Devotees also in that sense... Lamb at home, yeah. So devotees also in that case, when they're pursuing particular goal and that they're fixed in their result, they also act in a similar way. They're also fearful. They're also very aggressive to achieve, especially in the preaching purposes. But they themselves are always very humble about their own meat. So, and regards of the 64 dimensions, I heard from a couple of devotees that there are 64 dimensions. Should I mention them? But I didn't find any reference in particular in Shastra. I just heard from the devotees. An explanation of one was that these different cities enabling access to different, to each other dimensions, that this is some total of 64. Okay. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Hare Krishna.